Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture communications, the internet, flagellating first-time bicycle riders outside. Yeah, icons that make sense.
Did you say flagellating?
Yeah, sure. They only kind of wobble a little bit. They get trepid. They get trepid when they hear the Fred troops screaming past them.
You just got little feelers floating around.
Yeah, outside. Our studio has a choice view out the window of the Springwater Corridor, and so I'm going to be zoning out periodically and watching people
excellent
be angry with one another out there. It's fun.
Sounds good. We're also here in the studio with the one and only Dr. Jeff Guadalabeni.
Howdy.
Is it Benny?
Is that it the is end? Benny.
Okay.
Guadalabeni.
All right, great. I wanted to make sure I got that pronounced
you
right.
You came as close as anyone ever has.
Oh, thank you. Well, I remember you front-loaded that the first time you came in. You were like, it's exactly how it sounds.
Hand out
cards exactly
with
how it looks.
Phonetic pronunciation.
So thank you for joining. You're going to tell us about all things Dr. Jeff.
I'm incredibly prepared.
Yeah,
so,
excellent. Yeah.
First half of the show will be Doctor, second half will be Jeff.
Exactly. Fantastic. Yeah. I am back. I went to Germany, and I went to London, and it was awesome. I rode trains everywhere. It really was
the highlight of the world.
It was like a paradise, man. You get to, you know, like there are so many different ways to get about without a car in every major German city that we went to. Munich is where I started out, and they were there for they were having their like Fat Tuesday and leading up to Fat Tuesday celebration, in which like you just stroll around the streets with open containers of beer
Monday,
something like that. Yeah, and yeah, man, it was great. Like I saw a dance troupe on stage performing a Euro electronic version of Sweet Caroline, complete with the Red Sox like oh that whole thing.
Wow.
And at least one of them was dressed like a chicken, I think. So that was fun. But yeah, you've got the suburban trains out there. You've got the underground, the subway trains. You've got trams or streetcars on the street. Also buses. Also, DB Bahn, which is like...
This has been Brock list his favorite bus types. Exactly.
They were so great.
And then so one great guy in a Mercedes on this one lonely little street going.
Right.
Down,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. Otherwise, buses and trains completely.
But he's driving at like 160 miles per hour. Yeah. Or
kilometers.
What, 300 kilometers, yeah. Very fast. We never touched the Autobahn. That was the one thing I didn't do when I was there. So, yeah. The other thing you have to make sure you do when you leave the country is tell your bank you're going. Because with these days of fraud protection and whatnot, they will shut down your bank account if they detect you like trying to buy bus tickets in London, which is like the first thing we needed when we touched down, and we just, you know, we couldn't buy them.
And traditionally, the first thing people do when they steal your identity,
right. they get away. So yeah, that was fun. But I'm sure there are probably other things. Check my Twitter feed. I put all kinds of photos up there, and anyone who follows me is probably like, you know, severely disappointed with the amount of stuff that I shared, but it's all there for the viewing. So that was me. You, Brennan?
Huh?
You hosted a kick-ass podcast while I was gone.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah. It's like relearning it all. It's great.
yeah. So anyways, anything else happened while I was gone? No.
No. I should have had some witty anecdote prepared. Oh, on Friday night we rode the tall bike and my regular bike up to what is purported to be one of the top five Chinese restaurants in the country.
That's true.
And drank and had food with Caldoni, who's mm-hmm. gonna be our next week's guest.
Yeah,
and,
next episode.
You ate chicken paw.
I ate chicken paw for the
I
very
nibbled
first time.
On it.
Yeah. Have you had this, Jeff?
No, but I've heard about it. That's as close as I'm probably going to get.
Yeah. It's just the feet of a chicken lopped off and fried in oil and breaded, I suppose.
No, it wasn't quite breaded, but it was just really, 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 really fried.
Apparently, someone at Tyson or one of those places made that become this big export for them.
Yes.
And doubled their profits or something.
Freakonomics? Is that what you heard about?
Probably less Freakonomics.
Yeah, they were talking about that a couple weeks ago, I think.
And so it's not like this thing that like Chinese culture digs. It's just something that they created.
There's some guy named Earl in Arkansas is now responsible for this ancient cultural tradition, I think.
That's
kind of
really
how yoga works, actually, I think.
That would be interesting. I guess, I mean, if you build it, they will arrive. That's the sort of, Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Chicken feet not going to waste. If that wasn't breading, though, now I'm kind of rethinking my
your whole decision.
Yeah. It's just puffed up skin.
Hmm. Okay. Well, water under the bridge. We've got some headlines. We should probably go to those right about now.
Yeah.
This is Ben Hurtford, by the way.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
All right, first up from Logan. Mia Burke kicks the Oregonian in the gonads. Or gonads.
I decided to quote him directly because that was such a fantastic way of putting
it's
it.
It's pretty great. Yeah. So and a lot of journalistic controversy.
That's right. Yeah, Logan and I actually had beers together on Thursday. It was good. It was good
story.
Times. Yeah, yeah. He gave me a copy of Mia Burke's book, which I have yet to start reading, mm-hmm. but I was glad to finally have the opportunity. So yeah.
So say more about Mia Burke.
Well,
thrashing.
As I understand, she just kind of started putting out some of the facts and figures concerning where the funding goes from what the PBOT is, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Much has been made in the Oregonian about how bicycle improvements and bicycle infrastructure has been this huge. It's been drawing lots and lots of funds away from other projects, and that's why we have potholes apparently in the roads around the cities, because we're spending our money putting down bicycle lanes mm-hmm. and arrows mm-hmm. and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. So, anyways, she's got a nice concise sort of layout of all those numbers there. It's really quite fascinating. Yeah, I don't think I can go probably too much more into it than that. It's just facts and figures, but good stuff.
Groovy.
So, anyways.
Next up from Pedal Powered Family, a review of their home on the road, Hilleberg Nilo tent.
Yeah, and this is the tent. The Pedal Powered Family, I believe we released their interview on Christmas Day this year. We spoke to them in like September, sometime in there. And I also took them to Voodoo Donuts, where they had the bacon maple bar,
yeah.
which was pretty fantastic.
Oh, these are the Mennonites.
Are they?
No. Never mind. Keep going.
Oh, okay. I'm sure. I think they have some kind of religious background. We talked religion as well as bicycle touring. But let's see. They reference "Home is whenever I'm with you," the Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros song and line. They're saying, "Hey, this tent that we have is pretty fantastic because it's been our home for as long as we've been on the road, it's really cool. It looks like basically you can stake down the end of the tent with two stakes, and then you can set up the entire tent as one person in one single motion. It's almost
looks like a big tent too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a step away from that tent that you can like throw up in the air and it kind of like elastic stretches out. Have you seen that?
No, it's like Batman's wings.
Kind of, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that tent is necessarily good for touring with. It's probably a little heavy, but this one that they're reviewing, it's both it's big enough
wow,
for all
great.
Four of them, two adults and two young children, and the outside there's like a vestibule sort of area that they can park their bikes inside of. So if you've ever gone bicycle touring or camping and you've worried about leaving your ride out where people can see it, even if it's locked up sometimes, you sleep in, you don't know what people are doing when you're asleep and you can't see. So you can tuck the bike underneath that vestibule flap. So anyways, it's pretty awesome, pretty big. I think they said the one problem, let's see.
God, how much did the thing cost?
I'm not sure.
Great.
I would say whatever they paid for is probably worth it.
That one side view down at the bottom is great.
Which, that one
yeah,
there?
Geez.
Yeah, it's long. It's a very long tent, and it doesn't actually look like that from most.
It's like sleeping in a big green roly-poly.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like a pill bug. Huh?
not actually a potato bug. Have you guys seen pictures of what a potato bug actually looks like? They got all like huge legs and
doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't look like a roly-poly. So
that
anyways.
That would keep bike thieves away also. Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah. If it suddenly sprouted huge legs and was just like, the... they like it anyways. Let's see here. There was one more thing I was going to mention. Condensation does occur on the interior of the fly. It's never entered the sleeping area. So apparently it's well ventilated as well. So anyways, that's the cool part about their nice little home away from home.
Great. Next up, Wrench Raiders. I've been putting their cargo trike to good use.
Yeah. Have you seen a picture of this since they got it?
No, not since it's been finished. And oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a big black box. It looks a little bit like the cargo trike that Beeline uses,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure if it's the same frame or not. But anyways, they've been putting it together and building it, and now it's got enough room for, they've got a bicycle stand they can stow there, a truing stand inside the box, as well as all the tools that they need to do mobile repairs for people that live outside or people who can't afford to have their bikes fixed.
Experiencing obstacles to transportation.
Nicely done. That's cool. Their official line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it's a fantastic little machine. And when we talked to him, what was it, about a year ago?
Yeah.
A little bit less. They were still in the process of raising funds. So it's nice that they actually finally got that. Yeah, so that's on Bike Portland. And
CJ's a dad now, too. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, double win.
Dad of one? That was his first?
Yes.
Okay, nice. Congratulations, CJ. We need to get you cigars or something.
and your baby one, too.
That's right.
That's the transition? Okay.
Sorry.
Scrap Bike Wizard Tom Labonte to be subject of documentary film.
Yeah, and I was just at his house Thursday, I think. Because he built my tall bike for me, and we were doing some small modifications. He pulled out his welder and just went bzzz and added a couple new pieces, and it works fine.
That's
now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but there's a little independent filmmaker. It's called One Less Truck, I think. The Cantankerous Titles is the film company, and it's basically just some guy here in town that that knew Tom Labonte. He knew about, I think he was actually, as Tom told it, he was buying a bike from Tom and said, hey, this is awesome. I'd like to get more of this on film.
Great.
So
that's great.
Yeah. There's a little Vimeo trailer there that you can watch.
Ooh.
But yeah. And if you do need a cargo bike and you've got a couple old parts laying around, Tom's the guy to build it for you. I think I'd like to go to him someday to have him build a kid conveyance of some kind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're so expensive otherwise. I mean, you were talking to Martina and last week, and you know they're not, I mean, prohibitively expensive, especially when you're considering like the cost of vehicles and that sort of thing.
But in these economically uncertain times.
That's right. If you have a couple old rusty bikes sitting around, Tom will retool them for you. So, yeah, pretty cool. And Tom's a great guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then check out our new news headline sounder thing. Because this is a transit story.
Oh, hey, look what you're doing there. Taking the lane, mom of transit riding family questions the economic toll of fare hikes.
Yeah, and Jeff, did you see this article?
I don't know if I've seen that.
Oh, okay, yeah. This was on Ellie Blue's blog, which she's actually more of a bicycle rider. You know, Ellie does a lot of bike stuff. But there's this family here. Sarah Gilbert, I think, is her name, who is a lady about town with a couple of kids. And she uses the TriMet transportation system all the time to get around. The trick is fare increases, when you're using it a lot, can end up being kind of a tricky deal. And it's been a while. They've been negotiating their approach to how they're going to cover some of the gaps. And they decided against a fare increase altogether, right? Like it might be going up a little bit, but it's not. They're not doing away with transfers like they were planning on.
Service cuts, which is where it always seems to go.
Right.
Also, they aren't doing the like one direction thing that they'd proposed.
I'm not. I don't think they've come to any sort
of decision.
Okay,
I thought that was one
yet.
Of their proposals.
Yeah, that is one of the proposals, is to do away with being at, like having an hour and a half transfer and doing away with zones and that kind of stuff.
A $5 all day or something like that is what they're going to do.
Anyway. Right. So anyway, Sarah Gilbert did the math here, and she says, you know, basically, if we're getting around with a couple of kids, let's see here. She had a hard number here somewhere. I can't afford $11 or $12 for a casual errand. Which, if you're going two ways and you don't have a transfer and you've got two kids with you that don't quite squeeze under the free kid line, that ends up being pretty expensive. And generally, the reason you do transit partly is because it's convenient, but also because it's cheaper than owning a car.
Mm-hmm.
She was just saying like this is tricky. Let's see here. Update on 2.8. I read this some time ago. TriMet has officially announced their proposed rate and service changes. So yeah, they are. They are on this article correctly, I believe. So anyways, interesting stuff, but yeah, it's always up in the air, especially in these, like, as you say, financially trying times.
Yes. The zinger I heard on the Twitter yesterday was somebody saying, at the current rate, you can hardly call it public transportation anymore.
It's more like a private coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those TriMet buses rolling around that say VIP coach?
What?
Yeah. I've seen them occasionally. I have no idea what they're for. Unless they're taking the general manager home after work.
I was just going to say, the guy that makes $23 in pension.
I don't think he's ever been in a bus.
Yeah. And that was, did you say something about that recently or on the Twitter sphere?
I from time to time mention the fact that none of the people on the board ride the bus.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, which seems kind of ironic, but I guess it's, It's kind of like people that...
Decision makers need to be stakeholders. That's a controlling belief of mine these days.
Yeah. Right. Like people that administer public housing, perhaps, don't live in Section 8.
Or it's you need to live near sort of thing.
Yeah, or you, to be able to see how it affects the choices that you make, how they affect those people. Anyways, yeah. So those are our headline sounders. Our headlines. Which means we need to play the headline sounder. Let me close this out.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
That is correct. So we're here with Dr. Jeff. Glad to have you back, sir.
I'm glad to be back.
I can't remember what we did as a fanfare for you before, but what kind of flavor would you prefer?
Royal.
Anything. You've got some good old American rock and roll.
American rock and roll. Let's see here.
See, you hippies, I swear to God. Probably have some Bulgarian folk music on there like crazy.
Man,
you find one?
There, actually,
no, that's not correct.
No.
Perfect. Now I've brought things to a standstill.
I'm kind of I'm in the middle of everything now. Oh, there we go. Thank you. That's why you're here. That's why I have you around. Thank you so much.
Introducing.
So we give you Dr. Jeff Guadalabeni.
Nice. I feel like I should be drinking a white Russian right now.
That's right.
Well, you are, I suppose, at this point, you're drinking the Hop Czar.
That's true.
From Bridgeport, which is our favorite local hop beer here.
That just happened to have been the most recent song this I was listening to.
Good work. Good work. Yeah.
This is what Lebowski would be drinking right now.
So. Okay.
That's right. Anyways, it's been what, 3 months since you've been with us? I'm trying to remember how long that, because the first time you came in, it was shortly before your first appearance on the Portland Afoot podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. And then on the Twitter, I think I was like, ha, take that, Portland Afoot. And it came across a lot more snarkly and a lot sharper than I wanted it to.
Right. I never thought there would be a Dr. Jeff bidding war, but you know, I'll take it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I've ever Twitter apologized for those statements. But I feel like I should.
Out of the blue, just be like, oh shit, I'm sorry.
I think you sucked up pretty good for that one, as I recall.
Okay. I sure hope so.
Felt badly about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone should know right off the bat that, while we both love Dr. Jeff very much, there is no feud at all between us and Portland Afoot. So, good times. But since then, you've been involved with the Holiday Fair Project, which I think you were just getting started when we talked.
It was just cranking up, yeah. Okay, and yeah. I did that, and it's kind of wound down, and now I'm trying to figure out what to do next.
Right, right. Just tell us about that.
Give people cigarettes.
I suppose, yeah.
Sure, they can use those. Ran a little micro charity, I guess, where people bought bus tickets and mailed them to me, and I then distributed them to nonprofits.
Right. And how many different organizations were there? I know you had at least three that I remember reading about.
Yeah, but... you know, I should have looked that up. I think 9 or 10 altogether.
Okay. That's pretty great.
And I probably gave away $3,700 worth of transit tickets.
Yeah, it's a good number.
It was great. Joe Rose of the Oregonian did a little front page of the Metro column that really kicked things off.
And, for sure.
Poured in after that.
It's nice to have the wide ranging audience of the Oregonian for a charity project like that.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it picked up a little bit of speed on Twitter, but then Joe did the column and it took off. It was great.
Definitely, yeah. And I think shortly after that, was it a front page of some part of the paper?
Yeah, the Metro section.
The Metro section, yeah.
Day before Thanksgiving.
And that feels good.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I suppose it's right just in time for Black Friday too. Although there's no Black Friday special on transit tickets.
For shopping time.
But it's when people are most used to spending money and pouring it out of their pockets. So.
Exactly. Yeah, it went great. It was very gratifying and a lot of fun. And at this point, I just carry a few extra tickets around and pass them out as needed.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's a nice substitute for cash because, I mean, everybody has a different policy, I suppose, on how you deal with panhandling and people approaching you and asking for donations. Sometimes that policy is just to say sorry or like kind of avert your gaze and pretend you didn't hear.
Well, and what?
But the other options are actual charity and trying to help someone out in a way that's practically useful.
Well, and here's what really struck me was if I hand over two transit tickets to someone, I'll see someone like rooting through the garbage at a bus stop or something. Give them two transit tickets, realize that's over $4.
Mm-hmm.
How many cans do you have to... I mean, think about how much it takes for someone just to go somewhere on the bus.
Right. That's 20 times four. That's a lot.
Yeah. Lots. Lots.
Because you get 20 nickels in a dollar?
Yep.
And
20 cans,
each can is a nickel.
80.
Yeah, so that's a lot of cans.
80 cans big for bad. Two rides.
That's approaching the limit of how many you can turn in at a single location a day.
Exactly.
There's a limit?
There is. It's something like 140 cans or something like that.
You guys probably, do you remember the good old days when you could take them into the store and they had the beginner grocery store guy who would count them up
for you? The Whole Foods in Laurelhurst used to have that until about a year ago. Like, there was just the one dedicated person that had to always count.
Just did bottle returns.
Boutique bottle return.
They wash them out for you and everything.
You have a great conversation about, ooh, this was a good vintage.
I suppose that's what you would make conversation about if you were the dedicated bottle guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we talk about Plaid Pantry? The Plaid Pantry convenience store chain here in Portland. The guy that owned that and started that was the guy that kicked off the Oregon refund bill to actually make recyclables returnable for deposits.
Wow.
I think he was the guy that came up with the idea
for
that.
Like back in the 70s, the bottle?
Something like that, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Now there's Plaid Pantries everywhere. Not actually Plaid, by the way, just in case anybody's disappointed when they visit Portland for the first time. It's like a...
That just reinforces the lumberjack.
Yeah, I suppose
Zeitgeist.
So. Exactly, yeah. So anyways, yeah.
I was in a band called Lumberjack Zeitgeist.
That must have been awesome.
Yeah.
Moving on
from... Axes together.
Yes. moving on from that, I was just thinking about... I was thinking about charity, being in the Oregonian, being on Twitter,
right.
and how I think you put out a big disclaimer like the day after the Oregonian article, because like all of a sudden all these people were following you on Twitter and you kind of had to preface it again.
Did I say fuck all the time?
There's lots of
thing.
Profanity on this. Yeah. You might not be ready for that. So it was nice of you to condition the people for that.
Well, and also people will find me through my psych blog that I write where I'm saying all these things about, you know, going within yourself and just being you and
right
then they're
from your psychology trade
right and yeah. Then they come onto my Twitter and they're just these random profane tirades
those fucking teenagers.
I say that at home a lot too.
Right. Well, speaking of being at home, you've had quite the ordeal in the past couple months with vehicles, right?
Oh, I have.
Because I mean you're a dedicated transit commuter, but you also there's kind of a necessity in your situation of having five kids and you and your fiance,
right?
And
so
one car,
at least one car,
right?
So we have one car. My kids are on, you know, they transit everywhere, they're on the bus all the time. But we need at least one car, so.
Right, just for that
so we
emergency
have one,
situation.
But yeah, my fiance totaled her car in the fall. Someone ran into her car. A couple months later, I revived my old Volvo with a couple $1,000 put into it. And right after that, a kid ran a red light and smashed it up and totaled it.
Like right after the repairs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Virtually as the guy was turning the last bolt, I think, you know. I'm surprised the car didn't run into it at that point. So I hadn't even paid off the repairs yet.
Wow. That's sad news.
Yeah, got that one totaled. Bought another car, immediately discovered that it had unrepairable problems and could never get it through DEQ. Sold that one. Just bought a Toyota van about a week ago, and I'm kind of thinking of just encasing it in Lucite and just kind of
there you go,
looking at it. You know,
you need the forward and aft force fields.
The shit isn't going anywhere.
This is the last
intensify forward
ever
power.
Own.
Exactly.
And it's
all power to forward shields.
I used to love cars so much. I just wrote something about this a while ago. I was a car guy. I mean, built model cars.
I remember reading that.
Followed, you know,
you
racing.
Spent all your teenage years with models.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cars.
Yes, model cars. Painting them as they lounged on my desk.
That's right. Know?
And you could get model glue right over the counter back then too.
Is that right? Did they change that?
You made those long afternoons with models so much, just flew right by.
No, you could do that in the '90s too. When I used to do the like airplanes and that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you did airplanes.
Yeah,
you did cars
and spaceships.
I did cars and I did a lot of spaceship stuff because I was 11 when the Apollo moonshot hit. So I was big on spaceships and lunar landers and all that stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
I still like lunar landers, but cars, not as much.
Lunar landers are pretty intricate. Yeah. They've got more spindly bits, more flagellum.
Yeah, they flagellate a lot more.
Yeah.
Like a bike rider on the first day of the year.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, you know, it is true. Like being out here and seeing like all these people on the Springwater Corridor when just like 3 days ago, it was like thundering and showering and you know, nobody in their right mind was out there, I suppose. The other thing I noticed today when I went out for beer was everybody's mowing their lawns today.
Yep.
This is the first Sunday of the spring in which you actually have blue sky. And
it's not frigid out.
Right. It's pretty warm. So
hydrocarbon day today.
I like that.
Yeah.
I did model rockets back in the day, the mm-hmm. launchable Estes model rockets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thing
yeah.
that I think I spent most of
with
my
time. With the cartridge that goes in there.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a little battery, except yeah. it was made of explosives, and mm-hmm. you would light it on fire with an electrical charge, I think.
Right. And now yeah. kids are doing that, and they're putting little cameras on yeah. them and stuff. It's really neat.
Right. I remember they had one of those. It shot onto 110-millimeter film, I
right.
think, back
– those little cartridges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. exactly. And that was actually, you know, Brandon, we were talking about icons earlier and about how, like, you know, uh-huh. different icons mean different things. The 110-millimeter cartridge had a distinctive shape. It was like a cassette, basically, mm-hmm. with film rolling onto it. That's something that no one would understand today what that was,
right?
I think.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways, that's a whole side topic.
Did you ever shoot any of them sideways at an angle or just straight?
Like a bottle rocket.
I'm not
fight.
Done with this topic.
Only by accident. Only by accident.
Okay. I always wanted to see if you shoot it at like a 60 or a 45, like how far you can get it to.
Right, right.
The footage would be way more fun.
It probably would, yeah. I think they were express warnings on the packaging that it warned you not to.
And as a good Baptist, you yeah. followed those instructions.
I was very compliant as a child.
Yeah. 90 degree angle only. I'm surprised they still sell those things.
You know, it
think
seems
of the fun.
Yeah, mm. YouTube would just mm-hmm. it would become a thing.
Seriously, yeah.
Could start a rocket meme. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Putting cats on them.
That's a thing. That's guaranteed to get hits on YouTube. Cats on rockets.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you add cats to anything.
Wow, I've totally careened this weird
okay.
Reddit land. Sorry.
Well, while we're on the topic of arcane technology, you have a VCR in your van now, don't you?
I do. It came with a little pull-down screen and a VHS VCR in there. So,
what year is this car?
2001. I think it's the
a VHS
last,
in 2001?
I think it's the last one.
Wow.
I think it was optional at that point to get a DVD player or something. I was trying to think, yeah, when the last time, because I long ago did a thing where I taped the Olympics for a guy on a VCR, and that was a very, you know, a really golden moment for me because they didn't have a remote that you could
yeah.
just hold in your hand. So he worked, and I was an unemployed stoner at the time, and I just taped the entire Winter Olympics for him.
Nice.
And had to go up and hit the pause button when the commercials came out. I got to watch the Miracle on Ice and all this great stuff because I was watching Olympics for like 11 hours a day.
Wow, that's a full-time job.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to keep the VHS player in the car because it brings back all those great memories.
Totally, yeah, yeah. Well, I think we had a Twitter exchange about the possibly like dubbing old movies with your own audio.
Absolutely.
And just coming yeah. up with new...
Like be... some commentary.
The kids exactly. really, they really want to watch a movie. They're in the back seat and we're like hunting all over the house for... old VHS stuff, and we just
Goodwill, man.
Yeah,
Goodwill is the only place that it exists anymore. But yeah. they used to be like $5 for a VHS. Now I think they're like two
or a quarter.
Or
like
yeah,
Cyndi Lauper in concert and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Right?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, yeah. Or up where Powell meets Foster. I think there's that right next to I've Been Framed, the art shop. There's a little. I'm not sure what it's called. It's a little thrift shop that sells vinyl and DVDs and movies and that sort of thing. They probably have tons and tons of them.
A lot of VHS.
Yeah. Well, they still advertise it, I think. Like it's in the, you know, like LP/VHS/DVD. It's right. It's still on the poster outside.
And all
so.
It's just going to take one, I think, and the kids will go, oh, yeah, that's great. and then
you can transfer them to their smaller screens, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's happened on transit recently? It's been
wintertime. I wrote a thing a little while ago about the looming budget crisis. And
that's
some,
true.
Some ways to overcome the budget crisis, and one of them is stripper max, because it, you know
it's
already got poles.
Stops running at midnight. It's got poles. Portland loves nothing better than mass transit and strip clubs, apparently. So
right.
I think that's a winner.
Yeah, that could do.
Yeah, driver for a day, you know, for $1,000, you can drive the bus. Random fares. So maybe you get on one time and it's free, and the next time it's $350 to go up to PSU.
Just kind of a roulette of fare.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things we can do to get rid of that gap.
I think people would call that unfair fare, possibly.
Probably
unfair.
So.
But yeah. only if it was on the deficit side, only if you had to
yeah,
be charged
imagine.
A lot. Yeah,
imagine. They give you $100 to get on the bus.
While you're driving past Reed on the 19, it goes up to $350. But when you're out here, right. it's free.
Exactly.
What if you had the fare inspectors instead of being fare inspectors, they'd be fare collectors, and they could kind of stroll up and down the aisles of the Max. They could be on the buses.
Strong
and they could
arm.
Like anyone who has a tie, right. Like that's automatically extra $5.
Yeah. Yeah, show it. You show like an Oregon Trail card and it's a nickel or something.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah. Anytime you have like a disability card, a guy with a bag of cans.
Because what we all know is whenever public officials are able to discriminate, it's always against the rich.
Right. Exactly.
Wait, no, that's not how it goes at all. I'm sorry.
Yeah, policy, man. If I was in policy, that's what would be my first priority. Just discrimination all the way.
Yeah.
Burn down Irvington.
It looks like you can afford stuff. Give us money.
Right.
Or at least Clackamas.
Yeah.
When I was asked, actually, if I was one of the 1%.
Is that right?
By Al Margulies, who's a blogger. He said he'd heard it somewhere that I was one of the 1%, which made me laugh endlessly as I was trying to figure out how we were going to buy groceries this week. It was great.
One of the 1% who gets hit by teenagers after they spend $1,000 on repairs.
Exactly. One of the 1% who spends over $1,000 a month on groceries or something like that.
Sure, yeah. But, hey, he thought you were rich?
Yeah, I must just give it up. I look rich, right?
It's a nice shirt you're wearing today. Yeah. Your jeans are, they're not too faded. They're only fashionably faded.
Got some socks. There's a hole in one of my socks.
Starting to wonder now, actually.
Yeah.
But, so you were subject to that scrutiny.
Unintended consequences of my, you know, C-level local fame. I'm starting to get, you know, like the TMZ treatment locally, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right. How long has it been that you've been doing the transit stuff?
Oh, God. 100,000 years, couple years maybe.
Okay, yeah, and I'm sure in that amount of time, like you've been accruing followers and readers and that sort of thing.
I'm plateaued.
Yeah,
I think I've just plateaued. I'm about 600 something, and it's been within two of the same number for about 3 months now. So I think I've reached my level of effectiveness that I'm going to hit. And
let's go find the shark for you to jump.
I'm done.
Yeah, good jumping of the shark is always that'll give you something. It might give you irony.
Right, me and the fawns. We're gonna jump the shark.
Incidentally, I just discovered that there's an episode of Arrested Development where it was towards the end of the second season out of three, and they realized they were probably not going to get more than a third season. So they built up to a scene where there's a dead shark on the dock, and his character hops over the shark.
I was like, it's just a literal reference.
I'd seen that episode several times, and Candace is like, did you see it?
Yeah. Did you see him jumping the shark?
Okay, go ahead.
And now the movie's coming out eventually.
And
what, the Arrested Development movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's been given the green light and a Netflix season.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
You guys should do that.
Netflix?
Exclusively Netflix with the podcast.
That's right.
You know, well, I have thought about the idea of like you streaming or something, you know, like a
Justin TV thing.
Yeah. Throwing a couple cameras up in the corners of this room and just, you know.
Because the thrill that you're missing out just hearing our voice.
I would imagine people are just dying to know what
happens. Have you seen it? Those are terrible. They
inside
do that
the five
with
walls
the,
of this, of
with
this room.
The local sports talk station.
Yeah.
And on like channel 37 or something on cable, they show them sitting there for 4 hours with headphones on, talking into a microphone.
You're missing absolutely nothing.
No.
Well, and there are certain people, like, I'll gladly acknowledge myself as one of these people who's really, I'm a radio nerd. Like, I love knowing how it happens. Yeah. I love knowing more about the personalities that give me the content that I'm interested in. But there is a level, of course. Like, something, there's the sports station, and then there's, like Lars Larson here in town, the conservative talk show shit stirrer. He's a guy
that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about him.
Is that right? Okay. No, he's got, I think, the same sort of thing, just like a live stream on some cable, not cable access, but close to.
But he paces angrily, though, so it adds something to it.
A lot of shaking like fists in the air. And
yeah.
Yeah, Lars Larson. He's really good at stirring up controversy. He's really good at finding like
his payroll is based on it.
The smallest little gap in your armor that he can, you know, stick a screwdriver into and kind of twist and widen a little bit.
And you're just tempting him now.
And then hundreds of angry conservatives will flood in. Mm-hmm. So
it's going to be all over you guys pretty soon.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can we do? How can we get his attention? Right here, right now.
Tell him we use birth control.
That's right.
government-funded birth control. All three of us are using it right now.
That's right. That's
I like
right.
to call it the Santorum method.
or not getting any.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Okay. Anyways, you've been blogging and all that. How about the actual like on the track sort of Max experiences or riding the bus? What have you had recently that's been interesting? Who have you seen? What have you...
What the hell is going on?
Oh, you know, the other day I was on Twitter, big crowded Max on the way home. Someone retweeted a guy who said, "Hey, I'm sitting right next to Dr. Jeff right now." And I actually, when he was sitting looking at his phone, he kind of looked over at my phone and got this big smile on his face. And he got up and left. And I'm like, "What's that?" And I
That's hilarious.
Right then the guy's like, "Yeah, I'm sitting right next to Dr. Jeff right now." No one ever just says hello.
Right, right.
Right? It's just too, it's just probably too weird an experience. And they just tweet about it and then run. He probably wasn't even his stop. Probably tweeted and just ran off of the Max.
Well, I mean, don't tell me you haven't done that before. I've done that before. You get up because the person you're sitting next to, for whatever reason, you just don't want to sit next to anymore.
Oh, well,
and sometimes it's because you're sitting next to someone famous. Sometimes it's because they smell. Sometimes
it's both.
Sometimes it's like that little cartoon that you sent me, Brandon, where you know, someone sits down on the seat on the bus next to the dude, and the guy says, "Really, are you, you know, pull
are you
out
kidding
wider,
me?
Seriously, even wider, are you fucking kidding me?" Because like the whole bus is empty and like the other person just sat down right next to you.
There's a whole complex little set of signals you give people. I mean, because I sit on that 5 strip on the Max.
Right.
The face is sideways, and then you'll get kind of out toward your destination.
Mm-hmm.
People will get up and leave, and then there'll be this, you know,
reshuffling
husky dude next to you, kind of all spread out, and then all of this stuff. And
you're
so
not really
you
into
do
husky
you
dudes.
Kind of, you get up
right
and you do that thing like you're uncomfortable and bump into him a little bit, and then kind of pointedly look over to the other seats.
Just kind of gesturing with your eyebrows, kind of over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, it's like urinal etiquette, really.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
Yeah, same deal. And it could be actually someone could be urinating at the time based on what time and which Max you're on or which bus. So.
It depends, yeah. With or without a cat.
Anything past Milliken Way, it's fair game.
Mm-hmm. Right, and heading east. I mean, I get off the gateway and God knows what goes on eastward after that.
Right, which as Fatboy Roberts establishes, the Juggalo spawn point.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Depending on which way you're heading. If you're heading east, it's a spawn point.
Of course.
Downtown, they all just get off and mill around for a while by those little feather sculptures they have over there.
Right, right.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
No one knows. Right. No one knows. It's a big mystery, along with how the fuck magnets work.
Right.
But I'm just trying to think. Social cues, like when you're on the Max or when you're on public transit, and you're sitting there, like you mentioned, kind of shuffling about that sort of thing. Like what else is there that
well,
you notice?
There's the pointed stare when someone puts their bag down on their seat next to them. You know, there'll be or when.
Is this the pointed stare to tell them that they shouldn't be taking up an extra seat with their bag?
Which, in fact, was I just wrote a thing for TriMet Diaries that'll probably come out tomorrow about apps that I'd like to see, commuting apps.
Oh, yes.
And one of them's called the Bag Shooter. And you have your phone. It looks like you're playing a game and you're actually taking a picture of the asshole that's got like 5 suitcases put out next to him.
Yeah, and with Facebook and face recognition technology, you should be able to identify those people pretty soon and libel them publicly.
Shame them. Immediately shame them for that. So
about their lack of tact on public transit.
I just got shamed by Dr. Jeff.
There are the
5 points.
When like 3 teenage boys are sitting there and a 75-year-old woman gets on with nowhere to sit.
Mm, yeah.
And there's that thing you do with your head where you kind of look at them and her and them and her and...
They're like, "Hey, she's disabled probably, or at least she's your elder."
And they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
16-year-olds don't care.
Do you think it's an active snubbing of the law or the rules for a 16-year-old, or do you think they're just so self-absorbed in their own life at that stage and age that they're just not picking up on those cues?
You know, I should say really. I mean, that I see more often than not, I see them getting up and offering people their seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about riding public transit. I mean, you see some guy who you think is a, you know, a gangster or a 16-year-old, you know, lost kid, and then someone will get on, they'll do something really kind
for
that person. And that happens all the time. So I see more of that than the other way around.
Totally. Yeah. I think Sally from ilovethebus.com, I think she had some story about like a dude that looked all tough and, you know, too tough for you. And then he ended up being like knitting buddies with some old lady that got on the bus.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. There's a guy that I ride with once in a while who knits. It's just the coolest thing.
Right. But they're always like anarchist knitters. They always have, you know, like imposing hair and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, studs on the clothing.
Spike through the middle of their head, that kind of thing.
Right. As you do.
Yeah. True anarchy.
Yeah. What else? What other social dynamics exist? Like, what else have you seen? Could you put a finger on other things that happen exclusively on transit?
Well, I mean, the personal space experiments that go on are pretty interesting. Where, you know, people will, like, some people will stand in front of you and just face you when you're sitting down. So you're staring into their crotch, you know, and
right.
That doesn't happen anywhere else unless you pay for it.
That is true. So. And you might or might not be into it. Sometimes it's voluntary. Sometimes it's not.
Depends upon who it is.
Of course.
And yeah, just, you know, people, the way the traffic flows through the, through the train and the people getting off the front of the bus rather than the back of the bus.
That's something that TriMet asks specifically on the ceiling of the bus, I guess, is where it's most prominent.
Which is where we try to read most of our information when we're on the bus.
That's
on
right.
The ceiling.
But, I mean, they say, hey, the bus has two doors. You know, if you're getting off of the bus and you're able to use the back door so people who are boarding can get in the front door so it takes less time and stay on schedule, all that. Do you think it's because it's on the ceiling? That's why people don't necessarily do that all the time.
Or? I think people often are so within themselves when they get on transit because it's so weird for them to be around other people in that close proximity.
Right.
I mean, what else? Elevators do that, but there's really not much else that does that. So people are just kind of unaware of anything but sort of surviving the trip.
Sure. Yeah, and surviving in the enclosed bubble, kind of maintaining that personal space where you're disconnected from the rest of the world.
And you can tell when someone is just scared shitless because they don't usually ride the bus or the train, and they're sure they're going to get beat on by a gang of roving teenage girls, you know?
That's right, yeah. Well, I mean, the teenage girl thing, that has happened recently. That was a big story in the news, but that's not typical, really.
What?
So. Wasn't it right here at our stop at Flavel Street? There was some situation where, like, there was some girl fight. Cat fight thing where they were upset about something, some boy or something, and one girl ended up beating on another girl to the extent that you know, it was kind of there was injury and she was pulled in for assault.
Yeah.
I think
her and her mom, because her mom was also had a long string of convictions for various things, and when they showed up at the house she said her daughter wasn't there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Although I think every parent in the whole world would probably do that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like you're not taking her away from me now.
Right. But, so they beat on this poor girl who was sitting on the bus.
Yeah, and that's kind of a sad story for sure.
People think that happens all the time.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of
the
like
media does.
I was going to say it's like the neighborhood that we live in here is the only time this neighborhood makes the news is when bad things happen.
Right,
and I mean, people have gotten shot and stabbed, and weed has been sold in the park and that sort of thing. And I mean, but they
God
never
forbid that last one.
Seriously, that's the worst of them all. But just the idea that, you know. That there's never any story about, you know, hey, like these people ended up meeting their neighbors and bringing cookies to them, or, you know, these people gave somebody else a ride. You know, it just doesn't make the news because it's not exciting.
Guy successfully walks through park. And where did you say that was?
No, the guy success. There were actually a couple of them that successfully circumnavigated that park today. I can imagine.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't. I mean, if you look at the total number of, I mean, and I think TriMet does this when. Every 8 months when they actually speak about anything, they kind of go, look at the numbers of millions of people miles and what actually happens.
Right.
And you're safer there.
Well,
than
and you think of all of the road rage. You think of all of the cutoffs that. It's like,
Right. Rider successfully navigates three transfer with one transfer.
Well, and then, you know, you talk about social dynamics. People tend to not. I mean, these days people tape it for YouTube. But don't call the cops or, you know, no one pushed the emergency button for the operator to know about it or anything like that.
So. Yeah. YouTube is kind of like the cops these days, I suppose.
Got some good footage.
Or it gets to them eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the person got caught that beat up the girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was YouTube. It wasn't security footage.
It was a security footage that was released for a minute and then withdrawn, or someone got a hold of it.
Okay.
And it ended up, I mean, once it propagates on YouTube, it's
the... Oh, like when the yellow line crashed into the what have you.
Yeah.
Right. That got out. I still haven't seen
that.
Briefly. Yeah.
It's not the most compelling footage.
No. But it's scary if you ever come to the end of the line anymore, like I do in Hillsboro. Yeah.
Yeah. And you say, hey, what about stopping? Is it going to happen today?
I just ride the whole 2 hours in a braced position anyway. So.
Yeah. How do you decide? I mean, it's probably a fairly simple decision. Probably I could probably guess, but how do you decide when you're going to plug in, kind of isolate and create your own space when you're riding transit, and when you decide to be open to conversations and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I think it's more subtle than is easily explainable.
Oh,
I think
each discernment is its own.
I get on at 6:14 in the morning. There aren't a whole lot of people who are looking for a conversation at that point.
Right.
On the way back, if you know, you make eye contact like you do anywhere. People talk in the elevator too. You make eye contact with someone who wants to have a conversation. More often than not, I've just got the headphones on and I'm reading because that's when people are unwinding from work or whatever. But I've had some pretty neat interactions with people, like the the woman from the Bay Area who got on with a dead phone, didn't have a flight, needed to hook up with a friend. And pretty soon there were five or six people who were looking up stuff on their laptop for her. They found her a room. I let her use my phone. She called a friend. You know, stuff. It was really neat. That stuff happens a lot. Yeah,
it's like crowdsourced couch surfing transits. You can make exactly. a big hashtag out of that.
Yeah, you can book flights.
That's only one German word, actually.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah. You know, I was thinking on the other side of that. It seems like Portland and maybe the Northwest in particular seem to be pretty passive aggressive cities. Like, like when we're angry about the fact that somebody has a bag on the seat next to them and someone could be sitting there, our first inclination is not to say, hey, you should move that bag. But it's more like, hey, I'm going to tweet about this so that, you know, people will know that this is not socially acceptable so I can cut off future occurrences like this.
Right. Yeah, it is true. But I mean, I think the other thing is that there are plenty of people who will just directly say, I'd like to sit there, mm-hmm. you know, so you get that too. But yeah absolutely.
Which is great, actually.
Yeah. It's a nice mix, you know, but it just, people change when they get on the transit.
Mm-hmm.
They change.
It's kind of like being behind the wheel of a car. Some people, you'd be the nice, mild-mannered guy, and then you're cutting people off in traffic and whatnot. You could be a real loud, abrasive person, then you get on transit and you're just quiet and angelic.
And scared to death, I think, sometimes. I really do. I think half the people on the transit at any given time are sure that some fight is going to break out or someone's mm-hmm. going to come take all their money or something. And it's something that TriMet does not do a very good job of, turning the other way, I think.
Yeah, they're not working very hard on maybe combating some of the public transit. Yeah,
people would be way more willing to get on if, like, there were more instances of the bus drivers being like, all right, all the gangsters in the back, stop being shitheads.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't all just like sit like this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Although I felt like a real hero the first time I walked to the back of the bus and just squeezed between two of the gangsters doing that.
Yeah.
It's not the most brave thing I've ever done, but I felt like I was Rosa Parks.
But it's fairly brave.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're socially,
I had my hippie jacket on, and mm-hmm. so I tend to get compliments when I'm at the back of the bus on the 72 with that on.
Oh, nice, mm-hmm. nice.
They think I sell weed.
You need a good hippie jacket.
Yeah, exactly. That connects you with the gangster culture.
They're buttering you up because they think they're going to get some weed. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It turns out it's just oregano.
Maybe that's it. You just look like a weed dealer,
and you can sit wherever you want.
Wherever you want to ride.
It's all about perception. Yeah. Do you remember the
Bridges can go anywhere?
That's right. I was thinking about last year around February, TriMet had kind of atypically for them, how did you meet your lover on transit or something like that? Yeah. It was
that's cute.
Yeah, love stories from the bus or something like that. And the
which could have gone horribly wrong if you think about it.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Return to the 72.
Yeah.
Right, but I think I've seen like personals, for example, Portland Afoot will publish every now and again, you know, the best transit related personal ads that they see in the independent news weeklies here in town.
Right.
I mean, we're all married men here. So I suppose
I saw the question coming about, have you ever fallen in love on the bus?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, the easy question is like, what would you call it? Just like the transit crush.
That happens all the time. Yeah. A few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I think one of the cool things is that thing where there's one train going one way and one going the other way and they stop for a minute.
They made a commercial based on that, I think. Right. It was for some cell phone company I remember seeing. But yeah.
The guy bought a ticket on the train or something.
That's it.
And then he was arrested for stalking that
of course.
Woman, I think.
See, that's the way it really works out.
Yeah, most transit love stories end mm-hmm. in arrest or some kind of violence, I think.
Yeah. You know? Based on your experience, do you think it's possible? Can you find love on the max?
Me personally, no, because I'm very much in love with my fiance.
Of course, it should be said.
I think somebody could. It's like anywhere. I mean, a friendly smile and a hello disarms most people because people are afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I think that probably happens quite a bit.
Certainly.
Got a question about seating arrangements and personal, like just personality archetypes.
Yeah.
Would you say there are certain seats? I mean, this is going to be for those in the Portland area who know the layout of the two dominant types of maxes that we have nowadays.
Yeah.
Would you say there's certain seats where, like, the socially ignorant person sits or the smartphone person sits?
Well, for sure, single younger women go to the ends of the train one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hang out in the public, you know, sort of the area with the sideways seats and that kind of stuff.
With a lot of the traffic.
Right. So they get on and they get as far
forward. They go up above the wheels.
Go up above the wheels as far forward as they can. Then there's this sort of general cluster of folks who are disabled, freshly out of prison, you know, on their way to score smack or whatever, that hang out in that sort of next
area. Or pushing a stroller.
Area,
or possibly all three.
Or pushing a stroller or all three, yeah. And then the side seats are kind of the generally sort of the savvy travelers for the most part, because you have leg room. And you got, that's where I always sit, because you have somewhere to put your bag.
Place for the briefcase.
Yeah. And then just the opposite, kind of fanning out the other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nice. That's very much
What about the two with the one sideways?
Oh, well, you know, it's
that's
funny.
That's the really awkward space.
Right, right. And that's often 50 to 60-year-old women who sit there and do Sudoku puzzles.
Mm, yeah. That's also where I sit, so I can keep an eye on my bike. But yeah. I'm not taking up one of the handicap spaces.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's a whole different thing. I see people locking on their bikes now, which I think is what I would do immediately, is throw a lock on my bike to that
vertical thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I've never seen
that. I've done that.
Yeah, I see people locking
it up. We used to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's I think we might have talked about that before, what a ridiculous problem that is with so many people who want to bring their bike and put it on the max, and there are two hooks on mm-hmm. each end of the train, and that's it. And it doesn't make much sense.
Well, and then there's always the folks who just are completely unaware that if you're standing there, at every single stop, glance out the window in case you have to move.
Yeah,
right.
Like I've turned around in there. Everybody's already cleared out for me, but there's that one person who's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
kind of in
and
the
there's
corner.
There's a wheel in my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's the place where I'm not very passive aggressive. If I do need to hang my bike on a hook, I'll be like, hey, can I use that hook? And usually people are very obliging. Every now and again, it'll be some lady that's doing some shopping. You know, she's got like three bags from right. You know, Versace or whatever. And
you don't
know.
You want to come in and put other stuff on?
Is that how you pronounce it, Brock?
I guess.
Versace. Yeah. You want to hang your Versace?
I'm
going to
comment on that. What'd you get at Versace?
I always want to hang like a towel or a robe or something over that hook. You know, just for ambiance.
Well, do you remember?
It's like you're at a hotel.
Yeah.
Was it the Oregonian? I think it was Rose's column that had the April Fools last year, where they added the icon for dry cleaning.
Right.
amidst all the other, you know, because there's now there's a place for bikes, strollers, or like your luggage. Right. And they added like the dry cleaning so you could hang your shirt from the little bike hook.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Well, we should probably get close to wrapping up our show. We've got a couple things that people have sent to us via a certain thing we call the mail.
It's a really forward-thinking name for it.
Right, right. See, I should have made the
little... It's patriarchal, yeah, but, exactly. You know.
Well, anyways, one way or the other.
You've got mail.
We've got mail. Yes. Blaine in BC says, don't ride your bike on the ice, or you'll end up like this guy. We've got a video up there.
Yeah. There's a guy that was going out, what was it, Wood Lake, which is somewhere up in Canada. And he was in his 40s riding his bike on the ice at 10:30 a.m. on a Wednesday. He stopped to talk to two fishermen, and then he rode away, and then he fell through the ice. Which is sad.
That is a bad buddy. Yeah.
They fished him out, but he did not survive. So,
Be
careful.
Great way to wrap up the episode, Brock.
I guess I'll hold that joke then.
I figured I should get to the end game of that one quick before we started to.
You know. Yeah, before we're like, yeah. Hur, hur, hur.
There's no word on his identity, so they said.
Mark from Vancouver, WA says, too much beer to drink and not enough time. We just got back from Breakside Brewery, and they always have new beers. It is always a hard choice. Should I have the new beer or the good old favorites? Ben makes beer that I don't see at any other breweries, and they are good.
Yeah, yeah. He apparently, the guy from Breakside has like a beer blog where he goes around, and I think he probably talks about his own beers and also experiments with others.
I can dig it.
Pretty exciting. And then Mark is actually, I think, from my old band from back in my younger days. he was the father of my drummer. So,
whoa.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Carl from California says, for as much as I commute 120 to 200 miles per week, I have yet to freaking tour. Well, looks like that's ending. Looking at heading down the coast this Saturday for a sub 24. Anaheim to San Leo Beach near San Diego, 70 miles each way. Looks like the wind gods may be in my favor heading down there. It should be fine. It should be good times and a learning experience. Wish me luck on this whole adventure.
Yeah, capitalize good times.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, which means the best of times. San Alejo is actually where I think that was close to the end of our tour when my wife and I went down the West Coast by bike in 2009. And it's a nice little spot. The campsite for bikes was very cramped. It was like an old RV site where part of the cliff had sloughed away. So they moved the fence in and said, this is where bikes camp. So kind of like that. I got another message from Carl a couple days ago, and he was saying something. So I think he tried to get to Aliho, but he ended up having to go somewhere else. But anyways, he successfully went out and camped outside and rode his bike back home. So nice. Good times.
Far out. And finally, from Johnny K in Florida, regarding episode 66, that is last week's, this was a really good show, Aaron and Brandon. You pulled it off. Well, thank you. I loved the guest and the topic was perfect. I have a daughter with her first kid and a kid on the way. I know I probably don't fit your demographic for listening since I'm a grandfather. However, the show has given me lots to think about. Oh, by the way, Aaron, you know way too much about root beer. I love root beer, but I've never known anyone that does taste tests like it's a fine wine.
Yeah, I'm a fan, actually, of fine wine descriptions of soft drinks. I used to work for a soda shop up in Vancouver, Washington, and we had like 300 varieties of glass bottled sodas, you know, a lot of them with cane sugar and that sort of thing. And one of my favorite things as a barista and salesperson there was just to describe them, you know, with flourishes of language. So
is that a sodista?
Kind of, yeah. That's yeah. Cool. I never had to wear the little paper hat, which I kind of wanted to.
You weren't a jerk, though.
I was not a jerk.
It's never too late, Brock. Now that you don't wear a helmet on your call bike, you can wear a little paper hat.
Yeah. I suppose I could do that. Yeah, little hats there, then the next big phase.
And that wraps up our mailbag. We should quickly mention the folks coming up on the next few shows.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. On the 11th, we've got Vincent Caldoni. On March 18th, Matt Picchio talks Peak Oil.
That'll be exciting.
I'm looking forward to that. And skipping forward a bit to the 8th of April, Aileen Crotty on Filmed by Bike.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too, because Filmed by Bike is a fantastic little event that happens here every year. And she was game to talk about it. So anyways, that's pretty much the end of all things. Jeff, is there anything you want to kick in before we – the very end?
the apocalypse has come.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd
camping
like
to was right.
tell the world before we wrap up the show?
Be kind to everyone.
True enough.
Even the teenagers?
That is my advice, and slow the fuck down.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's a hard thing to do these days, right?
I mean, like, no, that's what – if anyone ever asked me for any advice that I've learned up to age 53 – slow the fuck down.
That's a good, yeah. Maybe you could unpack that just a little bit, because I mean, obviously maybe people are just saying like, oh, I'm going too fast. I'm walking at 5 miles instead of three.
Slow down.
Yeah. Is there any nuance to that you'd like to explain, or is it more of a, just kind of an aphorism to
slow
to
down
cover
and let it
things?
Wash over you.
Okay.
Sit with it.
Yeah.
Just
let
be
it
there.
Tell you what it means.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, hey man,
so
thank
yeah,
you.
We'll speak.
Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate the return visit.
And, my pleasure. Any old time. I got nothing going on Sunday, so I'll come camp out Saturday night so I get in first before anybody else.
Perfect. Yeah, you can kind of elbow
What's
your way toward
here?
To the front.
Saw the line out there. Didn't know what the
tweets.
Hell was going on.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, maybe we gotta have Michael Anderson in again someday. So maybe if he comes in, you should sit in on that one too.
That'd be great. He's a great guy.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, here's... here's the music that means we're done. We do have a website. It's thesprocketpodcast.com. You can send us feedback. We're on the email at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us a message. You can text us 503-847-9774. We would be more than happy to play your things, whatever stories you have, whatever comments you'd like to leave. We'd like to hear your voice if you're comfortable with that. Ryan J. Lane gives us our theme music. He's on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. Hurtbird has our headline sounder there at hurtbirdmusic.com. We're on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. We're on Facebook as The Sprocket Podcast. And that's pretty much all we have to say. We'll see you next week.
Thanks,
cheers.
Bob Dylan.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.